And welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week, well, once again, MLW has not graced us with new content. So, thanks to the world of Twitter, I threw it out there and everyone got to have a vote, because sometimes MLW Confusion is a democracy, or at least it's democratic enough to keep the populace content, thinking they have choice. And I happen to be a benevolent dictator. I mean, president. A benevolent president, prime minister, whatnot, who's it's. So, there was a 4-tier poll on the Twitter box at the Nova of Cass, even though it's too late for you to go vote for it now, obviously, because the show's been recorded. And the winning vote happened to be for a top 10 list. So, today, we are going to get our news in briefly, and then we will bring in a top 10 list. So, without much further ado, the news. First of all, the middleweight division got bolstered by the signing of 22-year-old KC Navarro. Good on him. I hate to be like the guy who doesn't know anything, but I'm not a real journalist. I'm just a guy who lives in a basement. I'm not familiar with KC Navarro or his work, but let's just face it. Anytime you can put some extra new exciting talent in a division such as the middleweight, who's lost some star power with the departure of Leo Rush, it's a good thing. So I'm excited to see what Casey can do and see what happened out of Battle Riot. And speaking of which, the Battle Riot shows are still in the can. We are still working, they're still putting them together so we can have our MLW fusion. But in the meanwhile, we will see Battle Riot 3 this Saturday, July 24th at 7 p.m., maybe? No? I lied? So it's going to be 7 p.m. somewhere, let's face it. Time zones and how that works. The thing I'm saying just says 10 p.m. Oh, excuse me, 10 p.m. Eastern time. So Saturday, July 24th, 10 p.m. Eastern, we will see Battle Riot 3. And dadgummit, I am going to be out of town. I picked the one weekend this month that I can't watch television. And that's what happens. They spoil it for me. Way to go! But everyone else should watch it. I'll get to it eventually, assuming it's still there, so it'll be a party. And last but not least, the Von Erichs have demanded a rematch for the MLW Tag Team Championship. They have had a title opportunity waiting for them since they lost the tag titles to Los Parks, but instead of taking that opportunity, they have bothered to go after Team Filthy and try to put that feud into the dust, which evidently has come to a head at the Battle Royale event in the Philadelphia 2300 Arena. So they are ready to take care of Los Parks, who've been defending the belts via Freebird rule. When this title bout will come, we are not sure. The championship committee has not made their decision yet, but hopefully we'll hear more about that soon. Will the Von Erich boys become two-time MLW Tag Team Champions? Only time will tell. All right. So, again, with the light on the news and light on new programming, I did throw it out there on the Twitter box that we should do something cool and let you guys have a bit of interaction in the process. And the big winner was a top 10 list. Now, I didn't specify what that top 10 list was going to be. And frankly, when I made the poll, I didn't know what it was going to be either. But, you know, things change in a handful of days, and I've kind of figured out what I was going to do. I'm never going to say I figured out what I was doing, because, let's face it, I never know what I'm doing. I'm just winging it. I got a microphone, I got a platform, and I got a mouth. Gonna use all of them, put them together. Hopefully, sometimes, I'm actually entertaining. But, that being said, the top 10 list we are going to do today is Rob's favorite wrestling promotions, past, present. Nah, we're going to skip the future because things are going to get hairy out there pretty soon, folks. And let's just face it. And yeah. Anyway, I am going to preface this, the top 10 list is that it's personal preference, first of all. Like, I'm not going to try to sell you on anything. Like, maybe, just maybe, if you haven't heard of some of the companies on this list, check them out. Like, I find them to be fun. But by all means, this is no, like, be-all, end-all, best promotions of all time thing. So don't be like, how could you rank this company higher than this company? Because, frankly, I don't care that much. This is just, what does Rob enjoy watching over the course of the years? Like, and these are the things I enjoy watching the most. Second of all, I am also going to throw out there that, you know, people suck. I know that's not news. Otherwise, I would have thrown that in the news portion of it. But, you know, the wrestling world is filled with all sorts of sordid characters of low moral value. And my endorsement of these companies are not going to be an endorsement of their views or, you know, what they do behind the scenes. This is strictly in front of the camera or in the ring, entertainment value for myself. That is what it is. So I'm no way, don't be in there like, oh, Rob supports this promotion, the guy's a total jerkbag. Because, like, let's face it, like, if we really wanted to dig into things, I'm pretty sure most people's favorite promotions aren't clean, at least, you know, about who's running them and some of their behaviors in the past. So, not going to name names. And as I said, my list here, obviously, is going to contain some of those people. But, now, let's not make moral judgments on this stuff, too, because if we dig, or we find out, like, what you pay attention to, you know, glass houses, man, glass houses. Anyway, getting off that soapbox, getting on another soapbox, never mind all that, let's talk about some promotions. Number 10 is Lucha Underground. Now, using the term promotion for Lucha Underground may or may not, you know, be fitting. Lucha Underground was a television-based product, and not like the WWE in terms of television-based product. I'm referring to, like, an actual telenovela, a soap opera. I won't use the sitcom to describe it, but in terms of structure, it had seasons. It had a definitive off-season in between its storylines and whatnot. You know, everybody was signed to contracts for X number of seasons or tapings and whatnot. People have managed to get in and out of those contracts and, you know, run about the world and move on to better things, or at least more noticeable things in the case of some of the talent. But it was a partnership between Robert Rodriguez and AAA Wrestling, and was really one of the first companies to successfully bring Lucha Libre to the mainstream directly as a full promotion rather than just like a segment of the show, unlike the WCW Cruiserweight Division, which featured a lot of luchadores. Lucha Underground borrows heavily from the concept of the telenovela in addition of Lucha Libre, bringing in fantastical elements of dark fantasy. It was very much a television product in which, you know, people were murdered, sometimes between seasons, sometimes sacrificed in front of the camera for all to see, even though we tended to omit those gory details with just lights and shadow boxes and whatnot. But it was a very groundbreaking product in terms of how it was, just because it was made for TV specifically and shot like it was a television program. And we are seeing a spiritual successor nowadays, thanks to as Tekka Underground Limited, Inc., whatever, via Major League Wrestling Today with Cesar Duran, the former Dario Cueto, back in power. So we will see kind of how the spiritual successor moves on with the new days that is bringing us with MLW. Number 9, Chikara. Chikara, for a long time, was professional wrestling's best-kept secret, a small company based out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, run by Mike Quackenbush. Basically, it was started as an offshoot of his wrestling school, the Wrestle Factory. Eventually, though, building a whole promotion around it that featured brightly colored characters during a time period where a lot of your independent wrestlers were just scraggly looking guys who wore black track pants or just wore street clothes while wrestling. Instead, we have this infusion of lucha, brightly colored, I use the phrase again, brightly colored wrestlers wearing masks, being trained in a variety of styles, at least in those initial days where a lot of the wrestlers were fluent in lucha and catch wrestling as well as the American indie style. In addition to that, what really set Chikara apart as time went on was the intricate storylines that were to be had, coming to the culmination of a storyline shutdown of the company, which one could argue that they never truly came back from. But Mike Quackenbush's skill as a trainer and his eye for details made for a can't-miss product, especially between 2009 and 2012, with a very much heavy storylines that threatened to break down the company at its core, storyline speaking, of course, and then it did actually come to a head with this company shutting down and being relaunched a handful of years later. And much like Lucha Underground, a lot of folks who came through Chikara have gone on to a much bigger platform. Stars such as Cassius Ohno / Chris Hero, Cesaro / Claudio Castagnoli, Chuck Taylor, Orange Cassidy, and the list goes on of people who spent quite a bit of time in Chikara before moving on to what we would now call the big leagues. Chikara unfortunately had to shut its doors after last year during the pandemic, thanks to various accusations coming out of the Speaking Out movement itself. So rest in peace, Chikara. We will try to focus on the good times when we watch your old shows and just, you know, live in the olden days, much like everything else we do. Number 8. Sensory Overload Lucha Libre. More lucha on this list, at least indirectly. I shouldn't include this company on the list because they produced only one show. Welcome to Luchaville. But that show blew my effing mind, ladies and gentlemen. Let's just go it out there. It's one of my favorite things to show people who aren't into professional wrestling. Though I will admit, the taste is so out there that you have to have a certain mindset to appreciate it, and I'm definitely a bit judicious with who I show it to. But they ran one show about like 10 years ago, encapsulated its own little universe, featuring a lot of Chikara talent at the time, as well, like, coincidentally enough. But it was not family friendly. It was very adult and actually contained some very good wrestling, despite of it. And I have my qualms with some of the things. I actually did a review video on YouTube for it. So if you go check out the Nova of Cass on the YouTube, you could dig down and find it. And will you find that the commentator / booker of the show found my review and realized how much cocaine I might actually do. Number 7, the American Wrestling Federation. Now we're getting into, like, bad stuff, but good bad, in my humble opinion. The American Wrestling Federation was supposed to harken back to the good old days of wrestling and then reintroduce the concept of the round system to American wrestling as well. It was founded by Herb Alpertstein about 1994-ish, had a couple seasons worth of television in the can, and then went bankrupt like most wrestling companies do. Again, what was notable about it was the use of the round system, which was primarily seen in British wrestling and not so much here in America. And let's face it, there's a lot of faults with the style, especially if you aren't someone who traditionally worked with the style, so the matches themselves were not always great, and they had this like weird dichotomy of like squash matches that appeared to go on way too long because you're possibly waiting for the round to end, and for some odd reason, like, the good guys could never finish a squash match in the first round, but the heels could. And some bizarre booking decisions on that front as well. But it's filled with a lot of former WWE guys and a lot of former WCW guys, or at least guys who did a cup of copy in WCW. Your world champions were Tito Santana and Bob Orton. You had Sergeant Slaughter, you had Tommy Rich, Greg Valentine, a lot of who's who from the 80s. Commentary was Mick Karsh and Terry Taylor, who evidently I am the only person in the world who likes Terry Taylor on commentary. So might want to avoid that if you're not me. All right. Number 6. IWA Mid-South. And again, this is going to be another one that's kind of like half eye rolls, because let's face it, Ian Rotten is a very polarizing figure in the world of professional wrestling. But to his credit, he's also, for a while, was one of the best eyes for new and upcoming talent. Whereas IWA Mid-South started as a hardcore promotion in the vein of ECW, he later branched it out, again giving opportunity to a lot of the young up-and-comers to really highlight what we would call the cruiserweight style or the indie style of professional wrestling, and giving a platform for guys like Colt Cabana, CM Punk, Chris Hero, Jimmy Jacobs, Claudio Castagnoli / Cesaro, an opportunity just to go out there and tear the house down. Most notably, CM Punk and Chris Hero had a series of matches and oftentimes went to a 1 hour long draw, which is almost unheard of in the realm of professional wrestling. And just kind of a great series going on there. And has hosted through the years a veritable who's who of professional wrestling as well. Well, obviously with the names noted. And really, they're one of the only companies to, at the time, focus on great technical wrestlers and the deathmatch style, holding two tournaments every year, the Ted Petty Invitational, which focused on the best independent wrestlers on the scene at the time, and then the King of the Deathmatch tournament, which obviously is, you know, was one of the premier deathmatch tournaments in America during that time period. Though they've had some starts and stops since the heydays of the early 2000s, IWA Mid-South is still going strong, and I have a soft spot for them in my heart just because, one, I thoroughly enjoy deathmatch wrestling, and they brought in some really good deathmatch folks to kind of bolster that roster. And two, IWA Mid-South was also one of the first indie promotions that would come to my local area that I got to see back when I was a youngin and finally just like discovered my wrestling roots that didn't involve WCW or the WWE, etc., etc. So, number 6, IWA Mid-South. All right, we are going to take a brief pause for the cause, get the rest of my list going on there, so we'll be back in a minute. Listen to the guys who pay me the big bucks to do what I do.
Now, whether you're someone who works out, or, like me, needs to maintain focus and mental clarity, we could all use a pick-me-up. That's where Raise Energy steps in. With Refresh technology, Raise provides a hydrating, sugar-free boost of energy without the crash some other energy drinks have. You can find out where you can get Raise Energy near you by visiting www.repsports.com, and while you're there, check out the other products that Rep offers, such as pre- and post-workout supplements and snacks. And if you want some extra savings, order online and apply my discount code CASS, that's C-A-S-S, at checkout for 15% off your order.
All right, we are back. Number 5, Eastern / Extreme Championship Wrestling. For a good chunk of the rest of this list, like, I really don't need to go on and talk about what it's about. We still see ECW in our wrestling today, despite the promotion closing down almost 20 years ago. Chants throughout arenas are still going ECW, ECW, or ECW, whichever you want to look at it. You know, we are still celebrating the workers of the promotion and try to remember them fondly in various forms. And of course, you know, many of them are still active on the scene today. But Paul Heyman, like him or hate him, whether he's advocating or behind the scenes, became known as the mad scientist of professional wrestling just for being able to give everybody any sort of show that you were kind of looking for, whether it was a car crash or a technical masterpiece, a veritable who's who through the years, where you have those technical classics involving Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, Too Cold Scorpio, and then you had the brawlers and the storyline and the good storyline folks. So you had your Sandmans, your Ravens, your Tommy Dreamers, people going through there. And even if they spent very little time there, such as your Chris Jericho, who spent just a matter of months, you know, there was always something going on. It was a veritable three-ring circus of wrestling, and its influence is obviously still being felt today in its various forms. Number 4, World Championship Wrestling. Now, the next two picks are going to be my sentimental picks. Obviously, World Championship Wrestling was the closest competitor to Vince McMahon's World Wrestling Federation / World Wrestling Entertainment for the longest time, and it was a veritable shock to professional wrestling at the very core when WWE purchased WCW in 2001. It was a day that nobody thought would ever happen, because Ted Turner, who owned WCW, had very deep pockets and a veritable love for professional wrestling. But unfortunately, WCW fell out of his ownership when he merged with AOL to create AOL Time Warner, allowing basically the number crunchers and bureaucrats to come in and do an audit of things that were making money. And let's face it, WCW really never made money. There was maybe about 2 or 3 years where they were truly profitable. And the rest of the time, they were not. And you can have your Eric Bischoffs who talk about creative accounting practices. But really, still at the end of the day, if WCW was truly profitable, no matter how they were pushing the money, it would have stayed around. And yes, it was more than just the money that took them down in the end. But that was kind of a big thing in the world of business. You gotta push the cash. And WCW really wasn't, it wasn't profitable. It wasn't moving the money. But of course, how could we forget the halcyon days of the late era world, NWA, or the Monday Night Wars, where a lot of fans, this is with their first experience with professional wrestling, the Monday Night Wars, 96 through 2001, even though by then the war was mostly over. We have the rise of the NWO, the change of heart and Sting, and bringing in the cruiserweights to make for exciting television. It was really hard. If you had any love for professional wrestling, it was hard to not be a fan of WCW at some level, despite the fact that, you might have had loyalties to the WWF. Speaking of the WWF, number 3, World Wrestling Entertainment. The former World Wrestling Federation is what people think about when they think about professional wrestling. If you mention the word wrestling, people still are like, oh, you mean the WWE or the WWF. And that is due to the genius and madness that is Vince McMahon after buying his father's WWWF in the early 80s. And he's not the first to dream of expansion, but he is definitely the first to successfully take wrestling out of a local territory and put it on a worldwide stage, all for one company. And he did this by his own words, calling himself the Walt Disney of wrestling. He was really one of the first to embrace character over the in-ring product. Yes, gimmicks have been in professional wrestling since at least the 1940s, obviously earlier than that too, but the character never really took the forefront until Vince McMahon come along. And with that, and the magic in the bottle that was Hulk Hogan, created this global media empire that is still has a stranglehold over professional wrestling, at least in the eyes of the general public to this day. We can talk about how the product isn't as good as it used to be now, but let's face it, that's a complaint of every generation, though this time around, the ratings might have, something to, might be onto something. But that being said, WWE is arguably still the top dog in professional wrestling to this day. Number 2, SCW Pro. Now, much like Sensory Overload Lucha Libre. I don't expect very many people to know about SCW Pro, mostly because it is a small promotion that is now linked with the Seth Rollins, Merrick Brave run Black and Brave Wrestling Academy, but it's a small company that runs primarily out of the Quad City area along the Illinois-Iowa border, primarily in Davenport, but now with the pandemic, they definitely have had to expand to basically anywhere that will allow them to promote shows outside, but they've been around for much longer than the wrestling school has, dating back to the early 2000s, where Seth Rollins, under the guise of Gix and Tyler Black, got his start in the world of professional wrestling. And since then, they've really kind of gained a notoriety, especially thanks to the wrestling school. And now that some of their signees are starting to do things, bigger things on the independent scene, most notably Nathan Frazier, the former prodigy Ben Carter, signing with the NXT UK brand. And we have other guys such as the End Seeker, Dante Leon, and the one called Manders. Who are doing bigger things on the independent scene as we speak. Meanwhile, back here in the Quad Cities, SCW is putting on very solid shows almost every week throughout the area, and now really kind of hitting the world, now starting to like hit the worldwide audience potentially, thanks to their Patreon, where they do a lot of their put on a lot of their classic matches, in addition to various behind the scenes looks as well. But they're a fun company to take a part of. So if you guys ever just get a chance to look online, the former Scott County Wrestling is where it's at, and honestly is one of my favorite smaller indies going around today. All right, before we hit number one, let's talk about some honorable mentions. The first I will just throw out there is AEW. I know people may take offense to AEW not being on the list, partially it's because it's a newer promotion, and two, I've made, at least publicly, not so much on the podcast, have made my made it known that I'm not a big fan of like the Young Bucks and their style of wrestling as well. So that's some of the things is taking me off, the product. And of course that it competes with MLW now on Wednesday nights. So now I can't watch AEW live because I'm watching MLW and I'm recording this podcast all on Wednesday. So a lot of it's no fault of their own. No qualms with them, but they're just, not in my top 10 of favorites quite yet. Maybe in the future. Maybe if we do this list again next year or 2 years, like, it might change. Who knows? Next, honorable mention, CZW. And all I have to say about that is Jesus! And last but not least of the honorable mentions, Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Smoky Mountain Wrestling is one of those things that I discovered thanks to the WWE Network back in the day and just thoroughly enjoyed and wish they had more of the old TV episodes on the interwebs there. I like to see them in an official format rather than, bootlegged off YouTube or whatnot. But they were a smaller promotion run by Jim Cornette, based out of the kind of Kentuckiana area. They were helped financed by Rick Rubin. They were kind of one of the last bastions of popular Southern wrestling before the money ran out and Cornette had to go back to WCW and, well, primarily WWE. But to help kind of raise money, he did work out a deal with WCW. So it was kind of in this weird spot where within the calendar year, Smoky Mountain Wrestling was being featured both on WWF and WCW television at the same time. So I thought that was kind of cool. But honorable mention. And that leads to number one. And obviously, I'm biased. I have to be biased. But obviously, my favorite promotion around today is Major League Wrestling. I mean, let's face it. I enjoy that show enough that I run my own podcast, singing the praises of MLW, and have been doing this for nearly 2 years. And as I said, you know, last week during the Q&A that it's an incredibly solid show. They tend to have a great roster of folks. Court Bauer is very good at bringing in folks and using them to their strengths. And if they don't, and if they happen to be not around terribly long, they're not around terribly long. You know, but, and they have some of the best up and comers or guys that are just flying under the radar. You know, in the world as well. Like, you know, we're just kind of waiting for contracts to expire for the WWE and AEW to snap up guys like Jacob Fatu and Alexander Hammerstone. You know, best kept secrets in wrestling. And you could argue that, you know, MLW can be one of the best kept secrets in wrestling as well. But that shouldn't be a surprise. That's, you know, the podcast equivalent of nepotism going on right here with my number one. But that was my top 10 list. I hope you all enjoyed my rationale behind everything. And again, this is just things that make Rob happy. This is not a be-all, end-all kind of, you know, best all time. But, you know, I hope it got you, gave you guys something to listen to and some recommendations if you're ever just looking for new wrestling to check out. Of course, I mean, you know, if you're not familiar with Chikara, check that out. It's harder to come by, but, you know, I love me some SCW, and I was actually at an SCW show last weekend, and if I wasn't going out of town and missing Battle Riot, I would also probably be missing Battle Riot because I'd be going to another SCW show. But that being said, that is our show today. We're running long, comparatively speaking. It's kind of hard to talk briefly about all these companies, and I could probably go on for at least another half hour. But I won't, because I've already gone through my list, and, you know, it's time to go through the plugs. So thank you all for bearing with me again this week, as we're, you know, desperately missing new MLW content. Hopefully, with Battle Riot, we'll still be on, and I can talk about Battle Riot next week. If not, you know, more contingency plans. So check out the plugs, and I will catch you all next week. Thank you for listening to MLW Confusion. MLW Confusion is written and narrated by Rob Kammer, but is not affiliated with Major League Wrestling. The opening theme is written and performed by Rob Kammer, and what you are listening to right now is Ruined My Day by Alan L. Schroeder. If you enjoyed the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Also, be sure to tell your friends, family, and enemies about the show. Word of mouth is very important to us small businesses. You can also get up to date with the thoughts and ramblings at the social media at the links in the description. If you'd like to support monetarily and help out, and to upgrade our equipment too, by the way, you can in the following ways. First, our virtual tip jar is at www.kofi.com/Casanova. That is CASSONOVA. Or, for more bang for your buck, join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/Casanova. For as little as $1 a month, you can get access to MLW Confusion early and ad-free, plus get weekly exclusive goodies. So be like the OGs, Maverick45 and Alan Schroeder, and check that out! Also, for your energy, sleep, and workout needs, check out repsports.com and use the coupon code CASS at checkout to get 15% off your order.